This is the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Do we have any sort of like sounder that would make it so that we can transition into a tree of trust?
Wow,
like maybe like something like Wayne's World. Remember Wayne's World when they would do like the
we're off into the trust tree.
I don't
okay.
know. Or actually, I know what you can find.
Okay.
What sounds more majestic and nature-like?
Man, we got golf today, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
Tiger's on the course.
Maybe you could play the Augusta.
Oh, the theme?
The Augusta theme.
Yeah.
Right?
As we transition into the...
As we go into the football trust tree, and for those who are not familiar with the football trust tree, Giglio wants us to have a safe space in which we can talk about the college football season as though it's going to happen. No judgment, no worry of a pandemic crushing our dreams. This is something that we can all talk about together. Let's go to the football trust tree.
You forgot the best part of the trust tree.
And that is?
You can't come back at me in 5 years with, Keaton Clark, you're so stupid.
Wow. You've had that pent up. Whoa. What you're saying is you can't old takes expose
no.
me.
No, we're in a trust tree.
Don't send it off to freezing cold takes. Reason why we're in the football trust
tree. Redefined print, sir.
The reason why we're in the football trust tree right now is because we had two things happen today that makes you go, ooh, yeah, we have football. Yeah. We had a schedule release today from the ACC. Oh, yeah. And making things even better, like put it in my veins, we had a college football poll release. Oh, yes.
I'm slightly disappointed. The Yellow Pads college football debut this year mm-hmm. did not make your top two. But
well, I've been
kind of goes hand in hand.
Here's the issue. I see the Yellow Pad all the time, so I don't really associate the two. But shout out to our guy Aaron Beard.
Yeah, he was excited.
Who also was like, yeah, put it in my veins.
Yeah.
Yellow Pad. Oh, it's just sight for sore eyes, that Yellow Pad, right? Okay, so we had the schedule released today. You wrote about this on WRALsportsfan.com, Giglio. You analyzed
the schedule.
Oh yes.
I did. Well, Where would you like to start? You want the Tar Heels? You want the Wolfpack?
Let's go with the ranked Tar Heels, shall we?
They are ranked for a reason.
Yes.
I actually think their schedule is kind of hard. I understand that Clemson's not on it, but the way that thing's set up...
is not on it. They also get Virginia Tech, yeah, and they get Notre Dame at home.
I understand where people are with Louisville mm-hmm. in terms of a team that could score, in terms of a team that's well-coached. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to put the current Louisville group in the Lamar Jackson class, if you will.
All right.
But I think Carolina's schedule is actually deceptively hard. For one that does not include Clemson, I actually think there's more to it than people are giving it credit for.
Well, I also think this is the disclaimer. They will see Clemson in the ACC championship game. Right?
That would be my
right.
That would be my pick,
mm-hmm.
normally. But I'm telling you, they have Florida State, which feels like a trap to me. Like Florida State's obviously not what they once were. We all understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But look where it is on Carolina's schedule. I mean, if you're gonna catch them on the road in between, let me look at it, Joe. Let me look.
Pull up the schedule, Giglio.
Pull it up. So they play Virginia Tech at home.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have State after that. And in between, they play Florida State. And you could tell me, oh, they don't care about State. But they do.
They do care about State.
They do. Just
you tell
so
me,
you know.
You tell me Mac Brown doesn't
just,
care about State?
Just so you know.
They care about State.
They do.
They do.
Are you? Yeah, they should start Syracuse. I think the open game, there was some confusion because on their website, they actually have, excuse me, the TBA, the non-conference game. Mm-hmm. They actually popped like James Madison in there, like on the original feed.
Yeah.
But they kind of quickly took that down. So who knows what they're up to. Actually, I think it was David Teal who had them playing Charlotte.
Okay.
Potentially as that open game there.
Well, you mentioned the Florida State trip.
Is that a road game?
Is that an Admiral Akbar special?
It is, because they're going to be excited. Look, they should be 3-0 when they play Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Right? Syracuse, Boston College, those are layups for them. Whoever they play out of the league. Then they play Virginia Tech at home, who they're going to be excited to play.
Mm-hmm.
The very next week, they play Florida State on the road. Particularly if Carolina's ranked, still ranked, which they should be by that point. I don't see them not being ranked.
I tell you,
Florida State's going to be interested in playing that game.
Yeah, they will. They will. I tell you whose schedule I don't like.
Whose?
NC State's. I don't like NC State's schedule at all.
People do this every year.
Mm-hmm.
They look at NC State's schedule and go, they look at it as a normal person
mm-hmm.
instead of what NC State actually is.
Right.
Like, last year it was, oh, State schedule's so easy. But it's like,
no.
Do you not understand all the problems they have with Boston College and Wake Forest?
Not this year.
Even
not...
ECU last year was like, oh, they're playing ECU. And it's like, no, dude.
No. Not
ECU
this team.
Lives for that.
Not this team. You got to start in Blacksburg. If they start in Blacksburg, then they have to go, they had a home game against Wake Forest.
Yeah.
How's that play out all the time with Dave Clawson? And Dave Clawson's supposed to have a good team this year. And then you do have an open date. I don't want to go to Pitt. I mean, Pitt's one of those sleeper coastal teams that people talked about. I know West Durham, when we talked to him from the ACC Network, he's absolutely enamored with Pitt. It was Pitt Day on the ACC Network today.
I would put Pitt, Virginia Tech, Carolina in the same grouping.
Yeah.
I would put Notre Dame above them, and then I would put Clemson above them. I would actually put Louisville in with Carolina, Pitt, Virginia Tech.
And then they have to, it's back-to-back road games where they have to go to Charlottesville to go play at Virginia, okay? But again, we have to look at this from the context of what kind of NC State team do we have here?
Oh, this is the Wolfpack. Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is the NC
State. You threw me off because they're playing Pitt in Virginia.
I know. It's the Coastal Fever Dream.
Oh my gosh.
You get, like, I told you when the ACC came out with their scheduling model a couple weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And I saw all the coastal teams. It's like this would be the most NC State thing ever because you don't have a good team going into a year in which you're playing all the coastal teams that you rail against about how, oh, man, I'd love to be in the coastal. All right, well, here's your shot. Our team's not good. And then on top of that, the schedule's, well, you know what? We're in the Trust Tree, so we're going to stay in the Trust Tree.
Yeah.
So I don't like NC State's schedule at all. Yes.
Speaking of things we would be absolutely losing our mind over in a normal year. Did you see which day of the week NC State is hosting Miami?
Yeah, it's on a Friday.
Can we get Steve Logan on like a speed call real quick? Right quick.
He's too busy at the beach enjoying
wine. Can we try him right quick?
Nah,
because
I would
like to hear his head explode in real time.
Nah. He doesn't want to do it.
NC State is hosting a Friday night game.
Yeah.
Now, we'll talk to Nick Stevens later about why that's maybe not that big of a deal.
But we're still in the Trust Tree.
We're still in the trust tree
where everything is happening. So I like the scheduling model. I like that they got rid of divisions. I like the fact that Notre Dame is dipping their toe in the ACC. They're sharing their television revenue. All these things matter. These things are important. These are all pluses. However, there's one thing about this schedule that I do not like, and I'm curious as to why they didn't scrap it between the introduction of their scheduling model a week or two ago, or whatever that was, versus today.
I love it when I know the answer.
Why is there still a plus one?
Yes.
When everybody else has decided, outside of the Big 12, Big 10's doing this, SEC's doing this, Pac-10's doing this, or the Pac-12's doing this. No non-conference games, no plus one nonsense. So what do I see on NC State's schedule on November 21st? I see Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. And Liberty's like an honorary 16th member of the ACC. They play three ACC teams this season.
Playing the role of Notre Dame on today's episode of Days of Our Lives
will
be Liberty.
They should have just scrapped the plus one and given everybody the out.
But they couldn't.
Why?
Inventory. They were told by the ACC Network, here is the amount of money we're going to give you to try to salvage this financial calendar for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the ACC Network then said, and oh, by the way, I don't really care that the Big Ten, who has subscribers and has gigantic numbers who subscribe to that channel.
Yeah.
I don't care what they're doing. I care what we're doing. And you're going to play an extra game.
Well, that puts NC State in a position and others where they've got these Liberty contracts. You wrote about this on WRLSportsFan.com today as well.
We've talked a lot about this on the show, but I finally wrote about it.
So you finally wrote about it, and for those who might not be aware, why Liberty? Well, I think as you put it, there's 2 million reasons why Liberty in this particular case and not, say, Delaware or maybe, I don't know, reschedule West Virginia as a plus one since the Big 12 needs a plus one. Anyway, they're stuck with Liberty, and a lot of people don't like this.
They really wanted to play Mississippi State. That was how what they wanted to work out. Because, again, they have to go to Mississippi State next year. And remember, when you mentioned the West Virginia game that was canceled, they only ended up with one of those in their home and homes where they had to go to West Virginia. So that was the game they really wanted to play. And I'm sure the ACC Network would have preferred NC State, Mississippi State over,
you think?
Over NC State Liberty.
You think?
But it's interesting to me, and it's going to be this way forever now. You're going to see the longest force majeure clauses in every contract of life now. Mm-hmm. Like, because this one has some very specific language about earthquakes and fires and wars and confiscation by the government.
Uh-huh.
It does not say anything specifically about a pandemic or a virus or anything like widespread disease or anything like that. So could NC State technically tell Liberty to pound salt? Could Virginia Tech do the same thing technically and then go fight about it in court? Maybe.
Maybe.
But NC State's got a couple other legal problems that they're already dealing with too. So.
And Lauren Brownlow's at WRLSportsFan.com. Hey, Lauren, today's felt like a real day in football. Isn't that exciting?
Sure. Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Sure.
For whatever reason, like, this excited me less than, like, just getting the opponents. I don't know why. I don't know why. I just, it all still just sort of feels like a charade that we're going through.
Yeah.
Even though I had, like, legitimate reactions to part of the schedule, most notably that three ACC schools continue to have Liberty on it.
Well, let's, do you want to go in the football trust tree now, or do you want to get some of this stuff off your chest?
Which one?
Like the Liberty stuff. Like,
that
would
kind of require me going into the trust tree, I suppose, because obviously that could all be moot, essentially.
Okay, all right.
You know.
So let's, okay, well, tell you what. Let's go ahead and enter the football trust tree. Let's go.
All right.
Let's put ourselves in the place. It's calm.
Oh.
It's birds chirping.
Hello, friends. Oh, wait.
Is this a golf tournament?
No, we're in the football trust tree. It's relaxing. There's azaleas blooming. All right, we're in the football trust tree now. And yeah, Liberty, based on not just NC State's schedule, they're like an honorary 16th member of the ACC with the many, I think, what, three?
It's a great look. Great look for the league.
I mean, the only thing the only thing that's missing from the schedule reveal with all the Liberty spots is somebody holding a black drink. Just saying.
Okay.
Some people will get that joke.
Yeah. Sadly, I do get it. I wish I did not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, I look, I understand that you had them on the schedule. I, for whatever reason, I guess like whoever does contracts with them must be like a voodoo artist because, or something. I don't know. I don't know what the magic is that they do because like the contracts that they sign are not always the best, you know, for the ACC school involved or whatever. But like, this is what happens, I think, when the ACC left that non-conference slot open for the SEC, and then the SEC was like, no, thank you. Now Liberty's looking at these other schools like, well, hey, y'all have a non-conference slot. We happen to have openings still, so let's go. Let's do this, y'all. And that, I think that non-conference spot probably makes schools like NC State, for instance, and put them in a tougher spot because they can't say, well, we're not allowed to play that extra game. You know, now they do have an extra game that they can play. They don't have a logical candidate for that, you know, for whoever that team would be, because they were supposed to go to Troy, I believe, and they host Mississippi State. Obviously, neither of those are on the table anymore. And then they had an FCS opponent. So NC State doesn't really have the out to say, like, we can't play them necessarily. And the contracts have language in them that would make it difficult. As Jillio wrote about for at WRLSportsFan.com, you can read why NC State has, I believe, 2 million reasons to not cancel its game against Liberty. But I also feel like Liberty has openly been very much sort of flouting the pandemic and just acting like it's not a thing. And to me, that should be reason enough, if you care about the safety of your players at all, to say, you know what, we have these medical protocols in place. We've been, you know, our league has told us not to play these teams if, you know, they're not going to meet our standards. I mean, I want to hear one thing from any of these schools, one thing where they actually reached out to Liberty and got some sort of proof that they're taking this seriously, or else what are we doing?
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us on the OG. Just to go back a half a step there, Lauren, a lot of these games that you see, Liberty in particular, or even the two-for-ones that NC State had created with Troy and Old Dominion and South Alabama, do you remember when the ACC was supposed to go to 9 games?
Yeah, kind of.
Back in
yeah.
the day, they had decided against it because basically Clemson didn't want to play Notre Dame and South Carolina in the same year. So they stayed at 8. You'll note the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, they play 9 conference games. Once upon a time, the ACC was supposed to go to 9 games and left open a slot. And then a lot of these schools, NC State in particular, were left to scramble to try to fill that last spot. And there was Liberty, who had recently become a full 1A member and said, oh, you need a dance partner? And North Carolina has scheduled games with them. Duke has scheduled games with mm-hmm. them. State yep. has games. Syracuse, Virginia Tech. I believe Virginia has also played them. So it was just this bad timing for everyone else. And now even compounded by the more serious matter of Liberty and their protocols. We saw this at the very beginning of the pandemic, that they were like, no, we're opening back up our campus. And, of course, immediately had to shut it back down when the cases were spread.
Yeah, and obviously, as you alluded to, like, Liberty has a lot of other issues, and a Google search will be your friend here, people. It's also earlier on my timeline, I retweeted a piece from Jason Kirk, who wrote about this, they have a lot of issues that, and they, like you said, they've kind of cropped up more in recent years than in the past. They hired Baylor's old athletic director mm-hmm. that helped, you know, cover up sexual assault there, and just were very unapologetic about it. We've seen a lot of Black people leaving Liberty, whether it's athletes or staff members that feel as if the culture there is not a good one. And I think in this moment in time, especially when you look at those issues coming to the forefront, whether it be, you know, sexual assault, Black lives, or, you know, the pandemic, like, it's just not a good time to be playing them. And I figured with this situation being what it is, that this would be the perfect opportunity for the ACC schools to just kind of be like, you know what, guys, like, I know we have a non-conference slot, but like, let's just punt this down the road a little bit. This isn't the best time, whatever, you know, but no, none of them did that. And it's just super disappointing to me.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALsportsFan.com, joining us on the OG. Yeah, I was told today that the ACC network was behind, not the Liberty matchup, but mm-hmm. the actual non-conference slot being open because they wanted the inventory.
Which makes sense, yeah. And like I said, I know NC State has itself in a tough spot because even with, you know, some of the things that Liberty has done, it's not as if they could say, well, we'd like to play App State instead, because then Liberty would be like, wait, hold up. No,
Speaking
you can't do that.
Speaking of App State.
Yeah. App State fans are upset with what's going on with Wake Forest. But here's the thing. I don't believe that this is some sort of you're ducking App State or whatever it is.
It's not.
The whole reason why you schedule App State there at what Truist Field now, it's no longer BB&T Field.
You're so right. On brand, man.
Gotta be, right? Well, what was it called before it got the name? I totally forgot now.
Grove Stadium.
Grove Stadium. So we'll go with Grove from here on out.
Grove, one of them.
Jim Grove Stadium? No, so Grove Stadium, the whole reason why you have that game is to bring people to the stadium. What's right. one thing that App State fans do when they schedule somebody within the state, especially an ACC school? They'll go.
Yeah, they want to show up.
They want to go. Wait, do we not remember Keenan last year?
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of Carolina fans there, but there were a hell of a lot of App State fans there too. So you do this because you want the gate. Well, slight problem. There will be no gate. Because, as we talked about with the director of marketing over at Wake Forest, they're selling virtual season tickets, and that's not what App State's about right now. So that to me is pure economics of why they're not playing App State.
Well, yeah, it's mostly economics, of course, but I also think it's at least in part, like you said, like it is an event in our state, right? And it is an event that fans appreciate and want to be able to see live. And I think that it makes sense to, hey, you know what, we can put it off for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's just do that. That's probably the better option here.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALsportsFan.com, joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Ovias. That's Joe Giglio. We're still in the football trust tree talking about the season going on. You know whose schedule I don't like, Lauren?
Who?
NC State's. And the reason why I don't like NC State's is because a lot of it has to do with the current state of the Wolfpack going into the season. and they drew some games that I just find tricky for them. I mean, they got to start the season going to Virginia Tech, and then they have a rash of games against pretty good quality opponents, and they all happen to be coastal opponents, too. Look at that, Virginia Tech. Then you've got Pitt, and oh, what's this? You got a Duke game, too. I don't like this schedule. It's not good for NC State. It could be a potentially ugly start to the season for them.
Yeah, and they have a while before they get an open date, too. And, yeah, I don't know that at Virginia Tech would be the first game I would want to play in with as much kind of staff turnover as they've had and young guys needing to prove themselves and whatnot. That is not ideal. And then Wake's always going to be tough no matter what, although at least it's at home.
It's Winston-Salem. It's the second game of the season.
I know, it's Wake.
And we know the Demons against the Demon Deacons, right?
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's not going to be easy because what are we used to when it comes to this kind of stuff, right? We're used to teams opening up against either some marquee non-conference opponent or against, a team that they can beat by a million.
Getting ahead of steam, yes.
Right, and there's nobody you can beat by a million really on the schedule for NC State except, God willing, Liberty. I mean, yeah, seriously. Virginia is really the only team that comes close to that, I guess, with VMI, it being who they open with. Florida State gets a little bit of that opening with Georgia Tech and Samford at home in back-to-back weeks, but that's not a luxury that a lot of teams have. I guess Notre Dame a little bit, too, with opening with Duke at home and then Western Michigan. Not that Duke's going to be easy, but, they're going to beat Duke. And so, yeah, you don't really get that opportunity, I think, if you're most teams, and certainly not if you're NC State going right into the deep end of the Coastal Division. It's hard to win at Virginia Tech. Believe me, Coastal Division people know that. Now. There's just so much that's up in the air with this. I guess I just wanted to see some teams just go, you know what? We don't really want to play a non-conference game because we haven't found a team that meets those protocols.
Inventory, Brownlow.
Well, that's cool and all, but like, let's get this all straight. Yeah. I mean, I think we all know this intellectually, but the one thing this should hammer home for everybody, if it hasn't already, is that this is about the money. Mm-hmm. It is about the money for the colleges and the administrators, and they will do that even in the face of potentially putting some of these kids at risk. And I think we're seeing that play itself out. And if you don't believe it, they keep giving you more and more evidence every single day. That's exactly what's happening.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com. She'll have a mailbag on WRALSportsFan. What, later today, tomorrow? What do we got?
I may have to skip this week because it's been a busy week with Zooms and whatnot. I may be back next week.
All right.
But yeah.
All right. A backlog of things for next week.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right.
Let's talk to Eric McElhane, ACC Network. I mean, Eric, you know where I'm going with this.
I hope it happens too, man. I hope it happens too.
Look, man, we all hope it happens. So, Jillio's got this thing where when we talk about the upcoming football season, we have to go into our football trust tree. West Durham has been in the football trust tree a couple times. Rand, can we play the music to kind of set? Let's go into the tree, shall we? Okay. We're in the football
tree. It's really nice in here, guys.
Isn't it?
Wow.
Isn't it? My mom just gave me some Tostino pizza rolls.
That's perfect.
You know, we're good to go. So, what do you like about this schedule, and what don't you like about this ACC schedule?
You know, I think what's interesting about the schedule is looking at the format and who's playing who. When it was first released, you're like, all right, man, this is going to be fantastic. You know, nobody's going to get really an easy pathway. You know, it's just everybody's playing everybody. It's going to be great. But it's funny how even still there's some people who have a slower start than others. And some that hit the gauntlet running. So I think it's interesting to see how even when it's a total conference schedule, there are some schedules that seem a little bit easier than others. But what I really like about it is the fact that divisions are gone. I love this format. You know, maybe it's not 11, maybe it's 10 or 9 moving forward, but really like this. And the fact that come December, that football is going to go perfectly smooth. Everything's going to happen great. We're going to have the two best teams in the ACC conference, not just a winner of a division that might be 6-6. You know, we're going to have the two best of the best of the ACC squaring off.
You mean Clemson and the other team, right?
I mean, you said it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I meant.
Listen. Eric McElhane from the ACC Network joining us on the OG. And Eric, I look, not even sure we need to talk about Clemson's schedule, but I would like to talk about Notre Dame's. Usually, you have to be a member of a conference to get little preferential treatment. Did you notice who Notre Dame plays before Clemson and then who they play before North Carolina?
you know, it's welcome to the league. You know, we're going to take it a little bit easy on you and give you a warm-up game before
that's right.
In North Carolina.
Alabama does this every year, and it drives me crazy. And I understand it from the SEC's point of view. You don't want to put your teams who are playoff contenders in jeopardy by playing back-to-back games. Of course, like, the other side of that is Texas A&M almost always plays, you know, Alabama and Auburn and whoever else in consecutive weeks.
It's
a challenge, man. It's a serious challenge.
You know what I thought was interesting, though, is that they kept the Notre Dame-Clemson game so late. I did have a little suspicion that might move up to a September game with having a great shot at both of those teams finishing undefeated, because one has to lose there, and then maybe having some type of run at a double playoff where either team who wins makes it to that.
Eric McLane joining us from the ACC Network. The ACC released their schedule today with the plus one included on that. Do you get the sense that we will actually come out of this with divisions permanently going away? It seems that this is universally lauded. Can you see the ACC finally using this as an opportunity to get rid of the Atlantic and the Coastal?
I hope so, man, because like I said earlier, I think it's the best way to get the two best teams to play each other. I like the fact that we're not having to wait 10 years for a team that's in the same state, a la North Carolina State and Duke, to play each other. I think this is the best way to do it. I like the mix and match. I like, again, just going out there and playing and not necessarily knowing what you're getting every single year. You know, you have those five or six teams you know you're playing with the divisions. Let's make it a total toss-up and really have some fun with it. So I'm hoping that people enjoy this and people truly understand that this is how we get the best product to represent the ACC in December.
Eric McLane joining us. Surprised that North Carolina went from 7-6 last year to being top 25 in the coaches poll this year?
No. You know, I think that was a lot of people's expectations. I have huge expectations for them this year. I've been wearing the baby blue sunglasses. I'm drinking the Mac Brown Kool-Aid that he leaves on the counter, man. I am seemingly all in with the Tar Heels and think that they have, a big, big season in front of them. I think when you look at the offense coming back, a trio of wide receivers that I think you can line up against anybody in the country with Bo Corrales, De'Ami Brown, and Daz Newsome, very different in each of their own respects and can really go out and do some damage against DBs. You got two nearly 1,000-yard running backs in Michael Carter and Javonte Williams. And then, of course, Sam Howell coming back for his sophomore campaign. If he can just take a couple of steps into checking the ball down a little bit more, maybe changing some protections here and there, he is absolutely lights out. So cannot wait to see another year of him in this offense and his understanding. So I think they're going to be absolutely electric on offense. And then on defense, man, you just got to go out and, you know, stop somebody once and you should feel good about your chances. But, you know, Storm Duck and Chaz Surratt, I think they're going to do a little bit better than that and really step up to the Tar Heels.
Now it's time for everyone's favorite game. You're full of shit, Jillio. The fastest growing game show in the Triangle. Now, here's your host, Joe Ovius. Let's see if Joe Jillio is really full of shit.
Yes, Jillio has a bunch of sports trivia. Some of it true. Some are made up. If you think it's true, you say nothing. But if you think Jillio made it up, shout out your name, and the big voice man will say the rest.
You're full of shit, Jillio.
Let's say hello to Trey in Knightdale. Trey, what up?
What up, guys?
Weston in Raleigh. Weston, what up?
What's up?
Brian in Raleigh. How are you?
What up, dudes?
Yes, dudes being dudes, playing a game show. All right, this is how it works, guys. Jillio's going to hit you with some trivia. If you think it's true, you don't say anything. But if you think you made it up, shout out your name and you're going to hear this.
You're full of shit, Jillio.
If you're right and he made it up, you win. But if you're wrong and it's true, you are out of the game. Last person standing, first person to call Jillio out for his BS wins. Do you guys get it?
Yeah.
Yes, all right, you guys are playing for a $20 gift card to the Original Flying Burrito. Jillio, let's do it.
All right. Woo. Talking a lot about college football today and ACC schedules. This will be the first time NC State and Duke have played in football since 2013.
Weston.
Weston.
You're full of shit, Jillio.
Oddly enough, it's true.
That's true.
They have not met since 2013.
That's true. That's true. Weston, appreciate you playing, man. Have a good day.
I thought it was 09.
No, man.
Shh, don't give away the next question.
All right. Oh, bye, no. Weston.
Maybe I should have.
You should have just cut him off.
Yeah.
You should just cut him off. You might have to move on to the next question.
No.
All right.
Trey and Brian, here we go. Duke coach David Cutcliffe has never lost to NC State. Where's Weston when you need him?
Right.
Nah.
You're full of shit, Gilio.
I am. NC State beat Duke 27-17 in David Cutcliffe's first year in 2008. He has won the two subsequent meetings in 09, Weston, and 13. All right, here we go. UNC is ranked in the preseason top 25 for the first time since 2013. Come on, boys.
Oh.
What?
I am full of nonsense.
You're full of Gilio.
After they won the Coastal title in 15, they opened the 2016 season at number 20.
All right.
Yeah.
Notice the pattern. Here we go. Mac Brown has a winning record against NC State. I don't know how to tell you this, but...
You're full of Gilio.
I don't have any more questions.
What?
I put three, you're full of it. Somebody usually says it.
Oh. You know what?
Mac Brown is 6-6 against the Wolfpack, 6-5 with UNC, 0-1 with Texas. He does not have a winning record against the Wolfpack.
You know, I got one on the fly.
Come on. Use an old one, Gilio.
Go yesterday's.
On.
Got some Canes ones from yesterday? Did you delete those? Did you delete those?
No, I still have them.
Right, use one.
You got a vamp for a second.
Use them. Bring them up from yesterday.
All right, hang on.
Man.
Had three of them ready to go. All
right. Meanwhile, Trey and Brian are just like, nobody say anything.
No.
Here we go. From yesterday, the Canes have never beaten Boston in an NHL playoff series.
Brian,
you're full of shit, Gilio.
Yes, I am.
College football doesn't have a bubble, and I have a feeling that's what's going to be sung about by Rand.
Yeah.
It's time for Rand to
acapella the news. Yeah, so Rand likes to sing, and now that we're out of the football trust tree where we talk with no consequences, it's time for Rand to bring us down.
Wow. When you put it that way.
Oh, boy. A little Aerosmith, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Every time the schedule is tweeted, our nerves and excitement's repeated. The past is gone. The Irish are here, so let's move along. Let's just find a way for everybody to have all their games in play. I know nobody knows if it'll stop or it'll go. I know it's everybody's goal to have it work without taking a toll.
Wait for it.
Come on, man.
So hope with me, hope for the year, hope for the stands with all the canned cheers. Hope with me just for today, maybe tomorrow the road I will go.
The Rona.
Yeah, dream on, dream on, dream on, dream until the season's through.
Jeez. Harsh vibes, Rand. Harsh vibes.
What? There's a little bit of hope in there. Like, yeah.
Did you wear a scarf while you sang that?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio Show Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. Or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.